the congregation that I'll be retiring as senior pastor of the Westminster Baptist Church, effective December 31st of this year. I have chosen to send this news as a letter to the entire congregation before the public announcement this morning. Our two services make it pretty difficult to share these things in a worship service, so I wanted to get it out ahead of time so that I could address it in this service. I think getting it out in a letter also made it a little less emotional for us this morning, perhaps a little. We came to serve at Westminster Baptist in March of 1983. We are deeply grateful to God for the privilege of serving this dear church family that we have come to know and love all these years. And my retirement will not mean that you've seen the last of us. I hope there are nobody's upset about that. Diane and I currently plan to stay in our home at Westminster, and considering that about half of our lives have been lived serving here at Westminster, it would really seem strange for us to move our membership to any other local church, as long as we're living in this area. And so you are indeed our church family, and it's our plan to continue to be a part of this church family. It is my hope that my successor will find me to be an invaluable behind-the-scenes supporter, helper, and advocate. I'm obviously not ready to sit in a chair all day or learn how to play golf. I would be lousy at it anyhow. My retirement from full-time ministry will give Diane and myself opportunity to live a bit less complicated and stressful of a schedule, some time to spend some more time with family, and to pursue some new and challenging ministry opportunities, both as a paid worker and as a volunteer. Those new ministries will allow us to remain in the background here at Westminster while a new pastor is called and establishes himself. When the time comes for his arrival, it is my prayer that you will support my successor as you have supported me and Diane and our family, and that you will pray for him and willingly look to him as your new spiritual mentor and leader. Over this next transitional year, I want to encourage our church leadership to seek the Lord in prayer and to redream the dream of what this church should look like as it ministers to the town of Westminster and to the world beyond. I pray this year will be a year of great spiritual and physical growth for our church. And throughout this year, I will be encouraging our leaders to re-examine our church priorities, to reevaluate the ministries we offer, to update some of our organizational structures, and to consider the qualities of leadership our church needs for a new pastor before that search process actually begins in the latter months of this year. It is also my hope that this year can be a year of great forward-looking, a forward-looking expectation, as well as a year to celebrate God's blessings for what he has done through our church over the years. So we ask your prayers in this upcoming new chapter in the life of our church family, and in the life of the Steen family, which will be affected greatly as well, and we seek to honor Christ and serve him faithfully. And it is signed in Christian love, Pastor Larry Steen. And we love you all. I will be sharing a little bit more in my message today to address this, but I am looking forward to a year where God brings great blessing to this church, and I hope that I can help the church during this time of transition to move in ways that will be honoring to him. So may God bless you all. Thank you. We're in a kind of a round table discussion. They're making predictions for 2017. What's the stock market going to do? Who will be Supreme Court nominees? What upcoming legislation is going to occur? All sorts of predictions about 2017. One of the participants then spoke, I think, for everybody in the round table. And he said this, with Donald Trump as our new president, one thing is for certain. This year will be anything but boring. And I think the same probably will be so for our church this year. A season of change is occurring. The preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes spoke a profound truth when he said, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. I have served as pastor here for 34 years, and in that time, in many other Baptist churches, they might have gone through a half dozen or more preachers. Some pastors are called to different places of full-time ministry. Some pastors simply burn out. Some pastors have moral failures, leave a church in disgrace. And other pastors like me, who have been around for a little while, just realize, sometimes you realize it's just time. It's just time. That God's transitioning us into some new ministry challenges. Some that might be a little bit slower paced. And I think this is a time for our family to be able to, for me to be able to spend a little bit more time with my family, but also a time to get involved in some new ministry challenges. You know, there was a day where I could never dream of any ministry opportunity other than Westminster Baptist Church. And there are some new challenges available. They're something that might be part-time. They're things that are volunteer situations that in places like the rescue mission and so on, where I can serve without needing to make a living doing it. And there's an excitement about some new ministry challenges. And I think it is also an opportunity for our church to make way for some new leadership and to write a new chapter in the history of the church. And that we haven't experienced this in Westminster very often. Chapter changes in churches are normal. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 10, the Apostle Paul is addressing the Corinthian church, and he speaks of two personalities. He speaks of himself as the apostle who founded the church in Corinth. He was the one who initially brought the message of the gospel to the Corinthians. And he also speaks of Apollos. Apollos was a native of Alexandria, Egypt. He moved to Ephesus, where he was discipled by Aquila and Priscilla. And then he went on to Corinth to be kind of like the head teacher. He's not called the pastor at Corinth, but he's obviously the successor to Paul, the head teacher at the church. He was considered a dear brother by the Apostle Paul. And Paul notes in this passage of Scripture that he had planted the church. He, Paul, had planted the church, but Apollos had watered it. That is, he had nurtured it as it grew, as a gardener would nurture a garden. And so he was referring to two very different chapters in the history of the Corinthian church, one under the leadership of Paul, one under the leadership of Apollos. And as though he was speaking to folks in the congregation who might have valued one personality over another, listen to what Paul said about Apollos and himself. Again, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 and following. He said, "What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. And at this point, Paul shifts his analogy. He's been talking about planting and sowing and nurturing a garden, nurturing a field. But he changes the analogy to a building. He says, you are God's building. And by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder. And someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, I was not the founding pastor of Westminster Baptist Church. Our church began as a mission in 1957 when some folks from Hereford Baptist Church decided that they were led by God, that there needed to be a church in Westminster. It began meeting in homes in 1957. Later, they began to meet in the Seventh-day Adventist church building, which was on Sullivan Avenue. I forget the name of the church that's over there right now, but that church building is still over there. And I guess if there was a Paul for our church, it was a man named Philip Kemper, who was the first pastor of this church from 1959 to 1964. And, you know, we need to celebrate the fact that God has given us a history of like a founding fathers. Tom and Fran Miller are in Florida right now. And Tom and Fran Miller are the last remaining charter members, original members of our church. Praise God, we still have Tom and Fran Miller who are here from the very beginning. Philip Kemper was kind of like the Paul of our church, and I am the fifth in a series of Apollos who built on that initial church plant of Pastor Kemper. To many of you, the names I am about to mention are simply names, but some of you know, a few of you know very well these names. Not only Phil Kemper, who was our first pastor, but J.C. Ledbetter, who followed him. Jerry Graham, who followed J.C. Ledbetter. Farrell Kempson, Paul Maxey, and myself. And the last time there was a chapter change in regard to pastoral leadership went back to 1983 when I followed Paul Maxey, who we call an interim pastor, but he was here as long as a couple of our other pastors. So I share this to say this is a year to remind ourselves that Paul's and Apollos's come and go. But Jesus is the foundation for our church. He is the Lord over the church. He is the Lord over every church member. It's his gospel that needs to be proclaimed. It's his name that needs to be exalted, and it is his work that must go on. So we're headed for a period of transition. Originally, I planned, when the time came for retirement, to maybe give a couple of 3 months' notice to the church. Good grief, the bylaw says all I have to do is give one. But I was influenced to change my mind by two respected friends of mine who have served in long-term pastorates in other churches and who have retired recently. You may know a couple of these men. You may know these men. Gary Glanville has just retired from Northwest Baptist Church just down the road after 37 years at Northwest. Pastor Stan Bell another dear friend of mine, he has served our church, leading our church in a Capture the Vision campaign when it came to the building of our multi-purpose room building. Stan Bell, who is the pastor of First Baptist of Laurel, also has just recently retired after a long-term pastorate. And both of these men, I've sat down with them, and both of them have shared with me how they understood a longer transition as being a unique resource for a church when the pastor has been at a church for a long time. It helps the transition to move more smoothly. Those of you who were around when I first came, you remember it took 3 years from Pastor Kempson's leaving to my coming with Paul Maxey in the middle for that full-time pastor to come into place. It can be a long transition time. And by starting a year early, the hope is that I can help prepare this church for that transition and make it go more smoothly. As we look at this time of transition, I think it is important, and I hope during this next year, that we can take a look at where we've been. Any new chapter of a book needs to be built on what occurred before. I hope we can celebrate our past. We can celebrate those who had the original vision for this church, the Philip Kempers and the Tom and Fran Millers. This year, two long-term church leaders of our church are retiring, Pastor Vernon and myself. We're closing out our ministries here. I hope we can celebrate what God has done through those ministries. But we also need to celebrate the solid foundation upon which our church was built and upon which our church stands today. Going back to that text from 1 Corinthians 3, it says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ." Our predecessors, not just pastors, but previous deacons, previous church leaders, previous Sunday school teachers, those who are still serving and those who have served for many years have helped build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. I think in our newsletter this week, the very first page, we had the testimony of Barbara Lambert and the long-term ministry that she has had working with children in our church. Praise God for that kind of building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. We need to celebrate the building upon the foundation, as the Apostle Paul says, of gold, silver, and costly stones, as opposed to wood, hay, and stubble that is burned up in the judgment. It is the task of our church to be reminded of our past and to build on that legacy. I think it's not only important for us to look at where we've been, but to consider where we're going over the next year. New chapters in the life of the church should not be written without some serious forethought. We need to truly seek the will of God in this next year. We need to consider well where we are going. Again, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. It says, we should be careful how we build. Each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than that one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. And if any man builds on this foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he builds survives, he will receive his reward. If it's burned up, he'll suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. We need to affirm and never let go of the solid rock biblical truth upon which this church was founded, Jesus Christ. We've got to affirm His Word, the Bible, as the authority for all that we say and do. We must never depart from the gospel message that Jesus is the one and the only way to salvation. We must never soft pedal the Christian confession that Jesus Christ is Lord. We must be convinced that in the Church of Jesus Christ, there are some things that will never change because He is a changeless God. We cannot be caught up by a world that selectively chooses to follow God's word only when it's convenient. And unfortunately, we have seen in some other denominations that kind of thing actually taking place. We need to hold fast to what is changeless. But we also need to ask some serious questions. You know, like a football team at the end of the season, as they prepare for the next season, they have to go back to basics. One of them is, this is a football. Sometimes we need to get as basic as that. Why are we here? What are we trying to accomplish? How have we tried to accomplish our goals in the past? How successful have we been in the past in accomplishing our goals? Are there better ways of trying to accomplish our future, these things in the future? Are we willing to pay the price to better accomplish what God would call us to do? I think it is not necessarily coincidental that this Sunday, Pastor Vernon is with our youth at Skycroft at a conference called Reboot. And you know, this is a wonderful opportunity this year for our church to reboot, to rethink why we do what we do and what we do and how we can do it better as we seek new leadership for our church. It is time once again to reaffirm that our Great Commission mission, when Jesus said that all authority in heaven and in earth is given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. What I hope can happen in this transitional year is to help create opportunities among our church leadership to have discussions to redream the dream of our church, and frankly, to shake the church up a little bit. Sometimes we need to be shaken up a little bit to get out of a sense of complacency. As I mentioned before, there are a few years ago, if somebody ever said to me, what ministry do you see God, do you see yourself in? I said, I can't imagine anything else other than being pastor of Westminster Baptist Church. And yet, I am at the point in my life where I think God is giving me some new challenges about some things. Maybe I needed to be shaken up a little bit. But some new challenges of ministry that I see on the horizon. I think also we need to simply trust God. Thank you, Gary and Dinette, for that song, because it fits right in with what I'm about to say next. We need to trust in God for what He has in store for us. We are confident that God has a plan for this church. Confident that He will never leave us, and confident that whatever he calls us to do, he will empower us to do. That he will give us the resources to do what he calls us to do. He will give the leadership that we need in order to do what he calls us to do. There is much we cannot know about the future. I don't know what tomorrow will hold, neither do you. But of this we can be assured, that no matter what the world may say, no matter what Satan may hurl at us, we are assured of God's blessing and victory when we place our trust in him. We may not always understand his blessings and the victories. We may not always appreciate them the way we should. Sometimes he takes us in directions we do not understand. But always we find the blessing by trusting in God. And that is my prayer, that we have an exciting year here at Westminster Baptist Church upcoming. Now, you probably noticed the sermon title, "My Father's House Shall Be Called a House of Prayer." In the last 5 minutes or so of my sermon, let me address that with this understanding. It is the understatement of all understatements to say, now last, but certainly not least, the most important thing we can do in the next months is pray. Jesus, you remember, uttered those words, "My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer," as he cleared the temple of the money changers. You remember the story, you read about it in Matthew 21 and in Mark 11. But the place of worship had become a chaotic marketplace, buying and selling, exorbitant rates of exchange for money so that the temple fees, taxes could be paid in Hebrew money. And that outer court had become a marketplace, and it was bedlam. It was chaotic. There is a cacophony of sound. It is just everything but what it was intended to be, a house of worship. And Jesus comes by and he says to them, you've made this house, my Father's house, a den of thieves. It's supposed to be a house of prayer. And so he cleared out the money changers. He threw them out. I mean, this is about the only place where we see Jesus really having a righteous anger. He overthrew the tables of the money changers. He drove them out. The temple was to be a house of prayer. Now, before you think you know where I'm going, listen to me on this. Today, the best analogy to the temple is not really our church building. The best analog for the temple is really our own bodies. Our bodies are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? The Lord wants to throw every misplaced priority out of your life. He wants to take control of every aspect of your life. He wants to throw every misplaced priority out of us as individual members and as a church as a whole. He wants every Christian's life to be characterized as we, this body. This is a house of prayer, that prayer is essential to each of us as individuals. And if we wish to seek God's will in this next year for something so significant as my successor, the place to start is, don't just pray Don't pray for the church. Don't start there. Because, you see, when we pray for the church, sometimes we get this really messed up thinking in our minds that we're praying for somebody other than ourselves. We are the church. And if Jesus wanted his house to be a house of prayer, it needs to start with us as individuals. It needs to start with an understanding that if we want God's will for the church, why should God ever answer that prayer if we're not seeking God's will for our own lives and we're not obedient to God's will in our own lives? And so this morning I want to ask a question. Are you seeking in your own life the will of God? Maybe another way of asking is there some area in your life that you know today you are outside of the will of God? You know you are. You know you're not being obedient to what you already know about God. Is there some area in your life in which you know you are being disobedient to the will of God? Before you start praying for the church as a whole, for this will to find a pastor, let us all start within and be obedient to what God calls us to do as individuals. That's how we determine the will of God. You know, sometimes, and a sermon's upcoming on this, but sometimes we make seeking the will of God much harder than it really is. God, help us find a new pastor. Help us find the right man. Sure hope we do it right because we don't want to make a mistake. We put a lot of pressure on ourselves sometimes that we find the right man. And we pray that we find the right man. How do we find the will of God? It starts in here first. That we each follow the will of God as best we understand it for our own lives, and that we are obedient to that will as God has revealed it to us in the Scriptures. And in being obedient as best we can to what we already know, I'm trusting God takes care of the rest. God then takes care of the rest. So I can think of no better way to move forward in this new year, this year of transition, than to begin a series of sermons on prayer. We're going to start next week. What does it mean for us really to pray and to seek the will of God? And I pray that you are committed truly to seeking the face of God in prayer through this year, so that this year in our church might not simply be a year of transition, but that this year in our church might be a fantastic year in which we experience the mercy and the grace of God, in which we experience His blessing, His overflow, because we have truly sought His face and we truly seek to follow Him. So, Father, we come to you today. We pray that you grant us a year of spiritual victory. Grant us a year of true revival within our hearts. Lead us to confess our sins and seek your mercy and grace. Help us to be obedient to the truth that we already know from your word. Deepen our love for you. May salvation be found by lost souls through this congregation. May the apathetic become passionate for you. May the misguided find truth. May the blind see. Father, we pray that during this year of transition, as we look to the future, that we make this year a hallmark year, a year in which our Father's house is a house of prayer, the house of my own body, a house of prayer, seeking your will and obedient to it, the house of your church, seeking your will, seeking your purpose. Lord, this we pray. May it be so. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close the service today, I just want to invite each of you to make this a year of great prayer for ourselves, for our church, that He will guide. And I look forward to a great year. As Pastor Vernon used the term, a year of lasts, the last VBS, that God will bless us all through this time together. Our closing invitation is
hymn number 294, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
May it be so for each of us, we pray. Let's stand. As we sing.
So much as we come to a time where we start talking more about prayer through this series, I just encourage you, may this church, wouldn't it be great if in this community, this congregation was characterized as a congregation of church that really prays. Father, we come to you today. I pray your guidance on us through this upcoming year. I pray, Father, your will be done among us. Help us to seek your face in the days ahead. Bless us now as we go to our Sunday school classes, as we dig into your word. Help us to find those truths that we need to hear, truths that we need to follow, believe, and obey, to the glory of the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask it. Amen. Join hands together as we sing.
We will sing the chorus of He is